Powered by Rev Media in partnership with TSN, this is Season 5 of the Rain Breaks Hockey Podcast, presented by our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, who have released Canadian Club Invitation Series, CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask, the signature CC Classic 12-year-old whiskey, finished with a secondary aging in Oloroso Sherry Casks. And I made it back from Palm Beach, Florida. Ray, here I am in the home office in Ontario, and you know, we'll get to some of what they discussed. A lot of it we actually talked about in our last episode on Tuesday at the general manager's meetings. But I wanted to pass along a dining experience as we kick off this episode. Went to Benny's on the Pier in Palm Beach. Beautiful, right on the water. But, I mean, one of those kind of diner sort of, you know, on the ocean restaurants. You know, seafood-based, just tremendous.
Open,
have you ever
open,
had a...
Open?
Yeah. Yeah, it
like
was.
It's open, right?
Yeah. It opened, but we were actually upstairs and all windows and screened in, but we were enclosed because it was a little cool that night. It was Tuesday night, right? I'm thinking in your TSN travel days, you would have had opportunity during the playoffs to dine with Gino Retta at least once or twice.
I have never dined with the
Seriously?
Lichen. Yes.
Well, he's one of those guys, and it's not annoying, but he needs to be very specific. Like, as soon as the waiter or the waitress come over, it's like, what are your features? In other words, you know, I'm a senior. I want to know what your specials are. Like, and that means that I'm making fun of Gino's expense. So I had already heard the list from the waiter, and I asked about this snapper. This fish that they were displaying, and you know, it was highly recommended. That the waiter says to me, he goes, but it's the whole fish. So you know, if you order it, you know, you just put it in the middle of the table, family style, and everyone can. Okay. Gets around to Gino. Gino doesn't ask the same question. So he orders this giant snapper as his meal. And this thing arrives, and it's like 4 pounds. Oh my God, did we laugh?
So it's right in front of him, and also in it, whoever's sitting beside him, right? Yeah. It's in their space too.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Oh, for sure. It was just this massive platter of deep fried, the whole fish just sitting on this big silver platter.
What kind of damage did he do to it?
He ate half of it, which was impressive. It was. And then Pierre LeBrun obviously consumed some of it. They were, I guess obviously. I shouldn't say obviously.
What is it?
Okay, so you know what I'm like at these dinner tables, right? So
yes.
I'm like, okay, there's got to be some hijinks, some shenanigans here. So this fish is staring across at me for the better part of the meal. And I'm looking at its bulging eyeballs. And I'm like, I'll give anyone at this table $100 to eat one of the eyeballs.
Oh, nobody took you up.
Yeah, nobody took me up on it, but someone did eat an eyeball.
Oh,
it was me.
You got a problem, man.
I ate it.
You got a problem, man. What are you eating? Can you see better?
No, but I mean, whatever. It was just ridiculous, but there's video evidence of me eating.
I would not.
And we got to move on here, but it actually, the taste was fine. It was a bit fishy, shocking. It was the texture and the popping when you actually chomp down.
I'm going to be sick here. It's 6:30 in the morning. What is wrong with you?
You know what? I'm from the prairies. You don't waste anything. You make sure, you know, that fish gave its life for our meal. You got to eat
it. If there was a half a fish left, you could have eaten part of the other fish.
Anyway.
I'm going to say, okay, so I'm just going to stay. So yesterday we had a birthday party for my 6-year-old granddaughter.
Oh, nice.
She comes up in the morning, and I'm like, hey, morning, happy birthday, are you? And she says right away, have you got me a present? She asked 20 people yesterday, anyone that was around, have you got a present? Did you get me a present? Cammy's brother, Don, who was here because the Sabres were in town, he meets her yesterday, and he's like, "Oh, hi, Aria, how are you?" And she's like, "Did you get me a present?" He's like, "Well, not yet." So
I'll work on that.
It was awesome to see everybody. So,
yeah, how do you feel about this Buffalo Sabres hat? How is that?
This is what I got. The one I'm wearing. There you go. It's yours. So.
Well, happy birthday. Those are special days.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Blast. Awesome. Yes. And the boys got to spend some time with Donnie as well, right?
Yeah, everybody was, because he came to the house. So,
I thought you were meeting at the rink.
Well, we went to the game and then he came to the house. And so it was awesome that we had everybody here and everybody could sit around. We don't get to, you don't get to see people much during the season. So it was really great. It was awesome.
Good deal. All right, time for headlines, Ray, brought to you by Tim Hortons. The iconic Roll Up to Win is back, and man, they've got big prizes. You can apply also for a new Tim's MasterCard and get 60 bonus rolls upon account opening, so that's a great deal. Guests can also earn one bonus roll per day on transactions made with the Tim's MasterCard. For the full list of prizes and details and all of the contest information, visit rollup.com/to-win.ca, rollup2win.ca. Tough week around the world of hockey, obviously, Ray, with the loss of Chris Simon and Konstantin Koltsov. I know that you would have played certainly against Simon. I don't know that you played against Koltsov, or was he after your time? But this isn't new to the National Hockey League. It's not new to sport. It's not new to our personal lives, losses like this. But, quick thought, on your experience against Chris Simon, because as a hockey fan, at least my perception of Chris Simon was twofold. He could play the game. He was a good hockey player. Okay. But, oh, boy, he would have scared the bejesus out of me as a player.
He was really intimidating, an enormous man. And the guy's that big. Honestly, they didn't really bother me too much because they generally didn't play a lot, and they played against kind of their own. They were in their own little game most of the time. Simon played in the top of the lineup. And so when Chris was on the ice, I would be on the ice on occasion. And when he hit hard. If there was shenanigans going on, he would just kind of turn, and like people were aware where he was on the ice. Like most of the enforcers, if you will, he had a tremendous rapport with his teammates. People really liked him a lot. And when the news came, again, I didn't know him, but the news comes and you just start reading what people say about him.
Yeah.
And it was widespread, the stories of how good he was and as a person. I mean, the hockey's clearly secondary, and just a sad end and story that that came down. I guess it was yesterday, right?
Yeah. Confirmation, sadly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and it literally, there was just this somber cloud that hit the NHL general managers meetings in Palm Beach, Florida, because, many would have, like you, played against Chris Simon or played with him in certain situations. But then as the commissioner, Gary Bettman, is made available to the media as the meetings wrap up on Wednesday, we have no choice. We have to ask about the safety of the sport. And in Simon's case, his family acknowledging their belief that he was battling CTE. And when we think of that, automatically we link to concussions and head injuries, because that's what the science tells us, right? But in our world, it's about hockey. And beyond the role that Chris played as a player, but also as an enforcer in the National Hockey League, you look at the bigger picture, and Commissioner Bettman says, oh, no, the game is safer. It's safer than it's ever been. And the numbers suggest that fighting is down 10% from a year ago, 13% from the year before. Of course, the season isn't over. That can change. They're calling more instigator penalties now, which is applied to the fight normally after a good, clean hit, all of those things. But then, Ray, optically, you know, I'm thinking about the two big dudes this week, Nick DeLaurier from the Flyers, Ryan Reeves from the Maple Leafs. They go at it. That's a heavyweight tilt. That's a heavyweight bout. And then afterwards, you see Reeves on the bench, you know, injured. You can see that he's hurt in that play with his eyes swelling up. You know, Matt Rempe, his introduction to the NHL. Where does all of this take you when we go through the loss of a Chris Simon? And then again, the suggestion of the family that he's battling CTE. Is it more that needs to be done? Are we okay because fighting is still allowed in hockey? Where do you sit on this?
Well, I don't question for a second that the game is safer in many regards than it's ever been. I mean, the game itself bears very little resemblance to the one I played 20 years ago when I retired. It's just not the same. And to, you know, for people to never search to make the game better is either lazy or you're in a hole. Like, we can always find a way to improve just about anything. And so when I get to fighting in the NHL, if there was or wasn't fighting, I wouldn't care one way or the other. If two guys want to fight and then the penalty is a game misconduct, well, then that's what it is. I mean, like, you can ban something and it can still happen.
Mm-hmm.
So like I think people have to realize that if they got to an outright ban, which I don't think there's an appetite for, there would still be fights.
Yeah.
And the players would get ejected from the game and whatever it might be, whatever the penalties might be at that time. I think the frustration is that it's almost like the media and certain fan groups or whatever, I don't even know how to characterize it, is that they would like the league to say, yeah, we know there's a connection. But is the connection, okay, so yes, if you're punching somebody in the head, we know that there would be, you know, there would be the possibility of concussion. That's what a concussion is. But what about all the hits in the game? What about all the size and the speed of the players?
Great.
There is an inherent risk in the game that each player knows when they're playing. You know it. But I'll use this example. When I was playing and I was having one of my six knee surgeries on my left knee, I never thought that, geez, you know what, probably somewhere down the road, I'm going to have to get a knee replacement.
Mm.
I never thought that, because the only thing I thought of is how quick can I get back?
Right.
Because this is your world. It's your livelihood. It's your life. And so I think the fighting, the concussion connection, the CTE connection to repeated blows to the head, this will sound goofy, but I think for the most part, guys don't think about it.
Right.
Because they're in their, you know, they're in their world of playing and chasing the dream they had, really, literally, since they were little kids. What more can be done? I guess you could get to the point where they say the fighting is banned. Mm-hmm. It's a game misconduct. That really is the only thing they could do. The other thing I think that's really important, I would like to see in each rink, the doctor that is assigned there have the legit power and clarity to be able to pull a player out for protocol.
Right.
Because there are some players that it looks like they should go and they don't. Goalies get run over. Should they be taken out of the game? And everybody's in favor of it till it's your goalie in the middle of a playoff game.
Right.
And I don't ever think it's as easy as we might imagine. I think it's far more complicated, but like everything, just because it's complicated doesn't mean you don't do it.
Right.
It means that you start really driving the car down the road, and it's complicated, and you fix this pothole and then you fix that pothole. You might not get there by next year or the year after, but you don't say it's just too complicated and we're not going to do it.
Right.
Like that would be my hope.
Well, and look, I mean, conversations like this publicly aren't going away anytime soon. So, in the essence of that, the National Hockey League will continue to be held accountable because the questions will be asked, and we'll continue to ask those questions. General managers recommended a couple of tweaks, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because we talked about it on Tuesday, and what we talked about on Tuesday actually came to fruition. And there's a process, right? I mean, it has to go now onto the competition committee, which is comprised of general managers, an owner, I believe five NHL players. They'll meet in the summer. If they approve, then it goes on to the NHL Board of Governors before being implemented next season. So the two tweaks that I want your final opinion on are the most obvious, and I think they're the most obvious to the hockey fan, and they're the additional coaches' challenges that are being recommended. One is for the puck over glass, where the puck is sent over the glass on a deflection that the officials don't initially see. So the penalty is called for puck over glass. However, now, once approved, the video coach can say, "Oh, hold on, there was a deflection there." But the evidence has to be conclusive that it was deflected. Otherwise, the penalty stays and another penalty is added, and it's a 5-on-3. And likewise, I call it friendly fire. So, you're the player, your teammate accidentally clips you in the face. The referee thinks it's an opponent, calls a minor penalty for high sticking. Same thing would apply there. So you can take the penalty down if there's conclusive evidence. If it's inconclusive, then it turns into a 5-on-3. You like these two ads, assuming that they ultimately get approved?
Yeah, I'm fine with them. But here's the thing. So in those two scenarios, over the course of, I forget how many games there are in the NHL year, I used to know, but anyway, well over 1,000 games. How
Yeah.
many are we talking about here? Are we talking about
Minimally.
12?
Maybe. Like, I think there's been two deflected puck over glass
Great. So
situations they got wrong. Yeah.
just add it into the rule book. It's like the tax code. Just add it in. Like, I don't care. Like, fine, great, good. Get it right. But I do think, right back to the coach's challenge for a second, I do not think coaches should have the ability to challenge
At all?
a goal.
Okay.
I don't think they should, because I think if there is any contention on a goal, every goal should be reviewed. Every touchdown catch in the NFL gets reviewed. Even the most obvious, they take a quick look and they're like, yeah, the guy caught it. His feet were in bounds, touchdown. So why can't every goal be just looked at? And like, why should the coaches who don't have all the same angles as the war room has, why should they have to make their decision based on that? And it's not AI in the war room. It is a person who's not the same person every day who will rule on a goalie interference penalty, for example, differently person to person. Hell, Dregs, if me and you watch 10 games together and watch 10 different goalie interference penalties, what are the chances we see all 10 the same? None.
No, no.
Zero.
Yeah. And Colin
And
Campbell
so,
acknowledges that all the time based on what they deal with in that room. They seldom agree. There's almost never there's a majority because that's ultimately what leads to the conclusion, but it's never 8-0 or 10-0 or how many people are in there.
So it's I find the video review thing necessary but frustrating.
Yeah.
And if they want to add it for a puck over the glass, go ahead, knock your
Yeah.
socks off. Both times, I'll try to remember the rule that it could be a 5-on-3.
All right, let's deal with a couple of specific club-related issues. We'll move away from the GM's meetings. Move away, but I'll give Danny Briere some credit here, okay? The general manager for the Philadelphia Flyers, because he walks into that room the other day when news broke that John Tortorella was healthy scratching his captain Sean Couturier. And Couturier's response, I don't feel like I'm being treated very well here, right? Obviously, he's talking about, I'm not being treated well by Tortorella. That's who he's speaking of. And Briere didn't really get into it. He just said, well, you know, when I get back to Philadelphia or meet the team on the road, I don't know what their schedule is. I'm going to have a face-to-face lengthy discussion with Couturier and find out what his issues are. This is where, you know, I'll be honest here. So Tortorella comes out post-game and won't even talk about healthy scratching Sean Couturier. Right. And the media doesn't get to ask him before the game because he normally talks before the morning skate.
Right.
So we don't even know that Sean Couturier is a healthy scratch until he's a healthy scratch. Isn't there a layer of accountability that's missed there? Like, what's going on? Tell us why you're scratching your captain.
Well, John, I think John's a really, really great person. When I get to talk to him, when I see him, I'm happy to see him. And he's a far deeper guy than he lets on, you know, when you see him in the media. He handled this about as poorly as you could. And in particular for a veteran coach, he constantly speaks of accountability with his players and with their team, with the Flyers, and how they're trying to rebuild and build their culture. And accountability is at the forefront of it. And then to come out and not answer any questions about it, I mean, that's no accountability.
Yeah.
Like you owe certainly your fans a level of clarity. I think if the player doesn't know, if he legit doesn't know why he's scratched, which I can't believe it, you got one goal in 27 games, you probably should have an idea. But if he hasn't had that conversation with Couturier, I'm just saying as an ex-player, I would want to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I want it. I want to know. I want you to tell me you're not physical enough. You don't win any battles. Your defensive play sucks because of here are three clips. Like, I think you have to present a package to a player, certainly of Couturier's stature. He's your captain.
Yeah.
You just named him captain 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this isn't the long-standing thing. He was just named the captain before.
Yeah.
Like before this season, or during this season. So I thought it was botched, and then of course the Flyers come out and win.
Yeah.
And you know, and so not, I don't know where you go forward from here. Is it a one game thing? Is he back in today? Is he, you know, like I haven't seen, but it's like now it's a full on mess that didn't need to be.
I just, from a media perspective, I don't understand, and I'm not chastising anyone in that local Philadelphia meeting, media, but I would have no problem going head to head with John Tortorella in that environment, or like you remember the old Larry Brooks, that confrontation. I mean, you're there to do a job, and your job is to ask questions. I don't care if he doesn't like the question. If he doesn't want to answer it, I'll ask it again. Or somebody else will ask it again. I mean, that's just part of having to work together. But anyway, it's a story that, you know, for so much of this year, the Flyers were a positive story, right? And then all of a sudden they started to lose. Things started to unravel a little bit. And it's just situations like this that seem to elevate and make it worse.
They've played their way back predictably, I think, to the pack a little bit because it was such a remarkable story. You know, that they had done as well as they had. And basically now with a team that, you know, you're running into an 80-game schedule, right? It's long. It's hard to be good all the time. They're with Carter Hart gone. I mean, they got Sam Ersson in goal. He's basically a one-man band, and he's a rookie. And, it, you know, like the leaks are springing up, and yet they're hanging in.
I know.
They're you know, so that last spot is not, that's not spoken for. Last two spots are not spoken for, that's for sure.
No, you've got teams in the East very much in contention there. So we'll start cracking down on that in the near future here with the regular season winding down. Wrapping up headlines with the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, Kyle Dubas, to his credit, did a lengthy sit-down interview with Pierre LeBrun, which was posted in The Athletic. I'm sure the locals love that because they didn't have a whole lot of access to them. However, come to the GM meetings and you'll have access to Kyle Dubas. But you genuinely, in having brief conversation with Kyle, you can tell he's feeling the weight of what he's facing in Pittsburgh. And what he's facing is at least a renovation and maybe a rebuild. How do you rebuild with the likes of Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Erik Karlsson? Go down the list, even though we know it's needed. He knows that Sid is pissed. He knows that Malkin is upset. He knows that Letang and Karlsson isn't coming to Pittsburgh and embracing moving his family out of California for a rebuild. But he's like, I mean, I'm the general manager. It's my job to improve this team on the long term as well as best I can in the short term. How messy do you think this is going to get?
Well, they're not very good right now because they've got obvious holes in their lineup, and age is winning every time. It wins historically undefeated. Evgeny Malkin is nowhere near the player that he was just even a couple of years ago. He's had major knee problems, and he's 37 years old, right? Like, it happens. And so you've got his contract. I think he's got 2 years left on his. Letang's got 4 left on his. Crosby needs a new deal. Oof. Like how are you? You call it a renovation, not a renovation's changing a couple of taps in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big job. They do not have a strong prospect system.
No.
Actually, one of the league's thinnest. They've lost Gensel. They're going to have to replace him. But you can't. You're not looking to replace one player. You're looking to replace about 6. Right? They got 5 years left on Ryan Graves' contract. He's had a really difficult first year. Like, it's a mess.
Yeah.
And I would. I think he's got 6 years left on his deal. Kyle does.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's probably going to need a lot of it.
It's big.
Like, I mean, to make the changes that he's going to need to make. Like, yeah. It's. A dynasty always comes to an end. And when it does, it's never smooth.
No.
Like, there's no way for it to be smooth. They had an exit ramp 2 years ago, and they didn't take it.
Yeah.
And now they're paying the price for it. And that was, you know, with Letang and Malkin's contracts coming up.
Yeah.
They chose for various reasons to re-sign them to lengthy deals, and now you've got them.
Yeah.
Like, could he move and retain? Yeah, probably, I guess.
You know.
Letang, you could, but don't those guys have no move clause?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're like, why? Wait a minute. I'm not going to do. But maybe they would if the option is, well, you're going to be playing with a couple of 20-year-olds next year because that's what we're going to do.
Well, and look, that's maybe best-case scenario for Dubas, right, is if Letang and Sid, especially those two, come forward and say, well, we're not going out like this. And they open the door to the possibility of playing on another team. But that story isn't going anywhere until either one of those guys, and let's be, you know, all kidding aside, it's Crosby, right?
Yeah.
If Sid at the end of the regular season says, I'm not talking about this, but I'm telling you, I am not going anywhere. Okay, well, then we stop talking about it. If he doesn't say that, then that story is clearly going to linger. And the possibility of Sid maybe having a change of heart in the offseason and wanting to chase that Stanley Cup again maybe comes to reality.
Well, as we know, like, July 1st is like this major beacon. And if they get into the playoffs and Sid's watching the playoffs, which of course he will be because that's what he does, and he feels the pull of that, and he's still not signed into May and June. Oh boy, then you're getting into some really uncertain waters. Like to see, to think of him in a different jersey is,
it's hard.
It's really hard. I mean, like even when he's played for Canada,
I
see him in a red jersey, it's just like it's weird to me, you know, like, so it would be odd, but he certainly wouldn't be the first and he certainly won't be the last. And his legacy in Pittsburgh is remarkable.
Yeah.
And if he chooses to stay, well, that's a very personal decision. If he chooses to go, I don't think anybody that follows the league would think that, well, that's a really odd decision. I don't think anybody would think that.
All right. Those are your headlines. Thank you, Tim Hortons.
Ready to roll? All right, let's roll.
Whoa, I'm rolling in it.
Play the 60th anniversary edition of Roll Up to Win on the Tim's app today.
Our interviews on Ray and Dregs brought to us by Canadian Club Whiskey, who have introduced the first release of the Canadian Club Invitation Series CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask. Time for Ask Ray and Dregs Anything. We'll take a few questions quickly, Ray. You can send your questions to us on X and Instagram at Ray and Dregs or on the website, rayanddregs.com. Hold on. Let's start with a fun one. Ray, James Smith is upset with you. He said, you are supposed to keep us updated on how your cold showers are going.
Oh, still doing it.
Still doing it?
Oh, still doing it. Yep. I didn't do it today because they got up and I got a bunch of people sleeping 3 feet outside the bathroom that I usually shower in. But yeah, I like it. I find it really, it's a part of my morning routine. It's as soon as I finish, I'm going to go and do my, I call it mobility, but it's like stretching a board, you know, like I'm not exactly the most flexible person around. So I do that. And then I do a little quick little workout and then I jump in the shower.
Nice. And,
yep.
Well,
I recommend it.
You had initially inspired James, who said during the summer months, he was all for it. Thought it was great. Colder weather came around. Not so much. Didn't enjoy it as much. So
when you look outside and you see it's pitch black and you turn the water on, there's just, when it's that dark and that cold, there's really very little motivation to step in. But step in, James, because you're in, and then once you're in, you're in.
Riley Kirk wants clarification here. So he says, quick question from someone who has grown up all things hockey. Trade deadline passed last week. So how was there a trade after the deadline for futures? What is it? Well, the truth is, as we know, you can make a trade at any point in the year. Those players just post trade deadline aren't eligible to play in the playoffs. So it doesn't happen very often, because if you're making a trade, chances are you're hoping anyway that that player would help you now and in the playoffs.
Well, it's funny, that sort of move happens a lot in Europe, where teams make late trades to try to get in, and there's eligibility or not eligibility. There's relegation that happens if you finish in the bottom two, for example, you can be relegated. So those teams are actually making trades late in the year.
They don't care
if the guys, there is no playoffs for them. They just don't want to get relegated. So it's a whole different scenario.
All right, one more. Don Muir, day-to-day routine for NHL officials. Do they review video? Do they train or practice? Do they talk about consistency? All of the above? I think they do all of that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been on many flights. Where you check in the morning and I look across, oh, there's the guy that officiated the game last night. He's got his computer open and he's got a handful of plays that have been sent to him from around the league that night.
Yeah.
And certainly from his game, but also from games around the league. And they're to review, to comment on. There is a comment from the league on this was handled this way. This was, we like this, we didn't like this. Like, there's both good and bad. So they get feedback immediately on the game. Their travel, I'm telling you, like, I know we never think about them except to say, oh, that's a bad call. But I'm on a flight early in the morning. I land, like, say I got a back-to-back game. I land I got a carry bag. I'm out of there. I go to the hotel. They got to go to baggage check. They got to get their gear. They travel all their own gear. Then they eventually get to the hotel. They eat. Might get a little workout in, like just to stretch out because they've skated miles the night before.
Yeah.
And then you'll often see them like in the mornings going for a walk as a group because they don't travel together.
Mm-hmm.
Like those guys, they get, they come in from wherever the previous night's assignment was. And so it's a little, hey, how you doing? Get to know each other a little bit because they don't work as a collection. And so it's a very busy schedule for them, but there's injuries, there's rehab, there's treatments that happens for them just like the players all year. And it's just not, it's not an easy year for them. For sure.
No, it's not. How about one more playoff related question? This one is interesting from Sean Top. He says, Gary Bettman's divisional playoff format is flawed for a reason that I don't think has been discussed. Now, Sean says teams are forced into an arms race to compete with the same teams each year. I'm not sure I'm buying it, but just let's hear Sean out. Meaning many teams will ride the same cycles of being good. And then you go through that process, you decline, and then you get into the rebuild. And he's talking about the Leafs, the Bruins, the Panthers, the Hurricanes, the New York Rangers, all seem to be at similar places in their cycle. Same with Detroit, Buffalo, Flyers, Senators, and Habs on the flip side. So most of these teams will see a decline and incline around the same time. And he says, make sense, or is Ray rolling his eyes?
No, I, as soon as you started laying out the scenario, I'm like, this is a Leaf fan, guaranteed.
Okay.
Because if they are in a different division, then they probably have more playoff success. Unfortunately for them, Boston and Tampa are sitting there as the big bad wolf, and every year they get, that's it, they're out. And so I don't disagree with the premise is that, like, if you end up in a cycle of goodness in your division, you are battling like hell against the same teams. Take it to the NFL again, second time today, but Tom Brady, they won the division, I don't know, 100 years in a row because everyone else in that division sucked for a decade. They were terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah.
So they had the benefit of being in a division where if you could be upright, you probably won the division.
Yeah.
And so is it a flaw? I don't know. I think it's probably bad luck more than anything. But there, if you are in the same boat every year and the boat is full of really good teams, you've got a problem. you really do.
Excellent. Thank you, Sean. And again, you can send us your questions to Ask Ray and Dregs at Ray and Dregs on Instagram and on X. I've got a quiet weekend ahead. A little bit of cleanup work, a little bit of radio, a couple of podcasts to get done. Other than that, quiet weekend, and I am looking forward to it. I don't travel much anymore, Ray. So when I travel, even short trips to Florida, 3 hours, 15 minutes, always takes me a day or two to kind of just get the lay of the land.
I hope you really have a relaxing weekend. I got the Canucks and Canadians tonight. I'm on a flight at 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
To go to New York. And then I have the Panthers and the Rangers, which I'm looking forward to on Saturday. And then actually going to see some family in Madison, Wisconsin. Going to go see Tony. And
nice.
So the Granados are flying. Like, it's spring break, so Cammy and the boys are going to fly in, and we're going to head up to visit Tony. So looking forward to that.
How's the weather in BC and Vancouver?
Spectacular this week. And then the last 2 days, it's turned into March.
Yeah.
Although I got to say, our buddy Jimmy Duthie there, he puts a video out. He's playing golf in the hail.
Yeah.
Like, would you not just wait for the next day? Like, what's he doing?
He literally is a golf fanatic. I mean, there's no question about that. Most of us are, but he takes it
not
to
like
the
that.
Extreme.
No, not like that. So you're asking about the weather. I hit balls the other day because it was beautiful. Yeah. It's raining today. No chance.
No
chance.
What are
you gonna do that for?
No. I'm looking at the weather right now. Right now, it's -7 in Whitby.
No.
Yeah. So yes, much for Scotty's golf. He's not that far.
Good for that. Well, everyone, right. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a good weekend, Dregs, and you recover from your strenuous week in Florida. And we'll see everybody next week.
Ah, feeling strong after that fish eye that I ate all as well.
Oh, still gross.
Thank you to our sponsors who continue to support Rain Dregs and make the pod possible. Our title sponsor, Canadian Club, and Tim Hortons. And yes, thank you for rating, for sharing, for listening, and for following us, if you do, on our Rain Dregs YouTube channel. Until next time, stay safe, everybody.